We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah, America. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's hump day. Let's check out some temperatures. 89 degrees at Hollis, 90 at Hobart, 87 at the home of the secret weapon, 91 at Camargo, 91 at Slapout, 93, I think, is the hottest spot in Oklahoma, and that's Cherokee and Alva. And out here in the Texas Panhandle, we got 91 at Lipscomb, 90 at Canadian, 90 at Dozer, 86 at McLean, 89 at Odell. Last I checked, no rain chances, not looking too shabby for this starting tomorrow night, I guess. Temperatures are going to drop down. Heck, let me just check it out while I'm here. I have a computer in front of me. Let's see here. Looks like Thursday night, 40 to 70% chance of rain, 67 for a low. Friday, 80% chance of showers. Friday night, 40%. Saturday, 30% with a high of 86. Sunday, 50% chance of thunderstorms and 87 for a high. There you have it. I don't know what Monday looks. Here's the key to our success in farming and cattle. Getting these rains and it not blow 100 miles an hour with the 90 to 100 degree temperatures right after all these storms. Looks like Labor Day, Monday, high of 83 and then a low of 60. But the key is these temperatures need to get down in the low 60s at night. Kind of cool things off at night and let all the plants recover and come back the next day. So this getting down to 72 at night just didn't cut the mustard. When you walk outside in the morning about daybreak, just boom, it's like, dang, the ground didn't cool off much. So anyway, I want to share something with you guys. I put it on the KCO Facebook page, and I would really appreciate if you guys would help participate in this and help out this young lady. So do you remember Zoe Carlisle? Back earlier this spring during National FFA Week, she's Sweetwater. I hope that's right. Sweetwater Cheyenne. Anyway, Roger Mills County. Pretty sure it's Sweetwater. Anyway, she sang the national anthem on my show and did a really good job. And then she went up there and sang it at OYE during OYE back in, what was that, March? Anyway, she qualified to be one of the contestants, I think is how this works, to win a shot at singing at the National Finals Rodeo this coming winter up in Las Vegas. So please go to our Facebook page, KCOFM, and get on there and click on that app. And or you can just go to, what is that, National Finals? Here, let me do it. Yes. NFRExperience.com, and the NFR National Anthem Contest is going on. Anyway, click on Zoe's deal. Let's help her get a shot at singing the National Finals, at the National Finals, the National Anthem. How's that? Let's start all over on that one. Too many Nationals in that sense for me. Help her sing, win a spot to sing the National Anthem at the National Finals Rodeo. Okay, how cool would that be? That'd be wonderful, somebody from Western Oklahoma to represent us singing the Baddest to the Bone song in all the lands of the United States. How about that? Anyway, all right, let's see what happened overnight. Corn and soybean futures were lower in overnight trading as investors focus on the potential for U.S. large U.S. crop Imagine that. The potential. Here we go. There's these big words they throw in here to make the markets either go good or bad. The U.S. Department of Agriculture earlier this month raised its outlook for domestic corn crop in 24-25 marketing year from 15.14 billion to from the prior outlook of 15.1 billion. Not really a lot, but anyway, according to these numbers, they are. Output in the current marketing year that ends coming up, when is that, 3 days from now, is pegged at 15.342 billion, up from the previous year's 13.65 billion. Soybean production for 24-25 is seen at 4.589 billion, and that's up from the July outlook of 4.43, a little bit more there. And the current year forecast is at 4.165 billion bushels, according to the USDA. Favorable weather throughout much of the growing season has led to improved outlook for production. The recent Pro Farmer Crop Tour estimated corn production at 14.9 billion bushels of yields of 181.1 bushels an acre, and soybean output of 4.74 billion bushels on yields of 54.9 bushels an acre. 65% of the U.S. corn crop was rated good or excellent as of Sunday. That's down from 67 a week earlier. Soybean ratings fell 1 percentage point to 67% good or excellent. Corn futures for December delivery dropped overnight 2 cents to 385.5 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 7.25 cents to 979.25 a bushel. Soybean meal lost 290 to 309.30 a short ton, and soy oil gained 0.07 cents to 40.49 cents a pound. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 2 cents to $5.375 a bushel overnight, while at Chicago, and while Kansas City futures were unchanged at 546 and 3/4 a bushel. Beef exports from Brazil will reach records in both 24 and 25 amid strong demand from overseas buyers. A weakening local currency and challenges expected in rival exporting countries, according to an attaché report from the USDA's office in Brazil. Brazil, the world's largest exporter of beef, will ship carcass weight equivalent of 3.575 million metric tons of beef. That's a lot. That will rise to 3.6 million tons next year. Exports will account for 30% of all beef production in South American country, element that is working in favor of the increased Brazilian beef production is that its main competitors, such as us, the European Union, and Argentina, are forecast to scale back production in 2024, per official USDA data, opening market opportunities for Brazil in third countries. Slaughter is forecast to reach 48 million head in 2024 before declining to 47.5 million head the next year. Brazil is a major producer of both corn and soybeans used as animal feed, giving it a competitive advantage in cattle production. I don't know about you guys, but any media, YouTube videos, anything on Brazilian cattle down there, it's nothing like ours. I mean, we're talking about guys, I don't know. I haven't seen anything in any of those videos that impressed me with the way their cattle are. Up here, you get the picture of the big black Angus cows out in the front yard and a big nice pasture with the white picket fence. But we all know that's not true on every place. But we have beautiful cattle in our pastures, especially when the grazing is really good. And then you look at those down there and you're walking them down a narrow road and they got cowboys on there with big hats and crazy braided ropes and roping them, trying to get them out of the canyons back up to the lot. So I don't know. I'm not impressed with it. Corn output is projected at 127 million metric tons in the 24-25 marketing year in Brazil. the Brazilian, the valued Brazilian real is having a profound effect on feed production as the cattle industry relies on imports of vitamins, amino acids, and other ingredients added into feed. However, despite that impact, the feed industry increased production on every feed category in the first quarter of this year. Furthermore, some of the notes from Brazil that its sources point to idle capacity in the feed industry, meaning they could ramp up production if needed. So anyway, it is what it is. What is going on with our weather in our ag belt? Looks like red flag warnings have been issued for western Nebraska and parts of Wyoming amid extremely dry conditions, according to the National Weather Service. Winds will be sustained at 15 to 20 with gusts up to 30 this afternoon. Humidity will drop below 15% in some areas of western Nebraska. Any fires that develop will spread rapidly, according to this. Outdoor burning is not recommended. Morning showers will give way to extremely hot weather in parts of Illinois. Heat indexes will reach in the upper 90s this afternoon. Values in the area will top 100 degrees tomorrow. Wait, but today is the Taylor Ranch happy hour, so let's take a Taylor Ranch break. And when I come back, I'll have your updated markets provided to you by the Lipscomb dealerships here in Elk City and Texas and Sayre also. And we'll have that coming up. And man, Beaver Livestock Auction had a huge sale yesterday, over 4,000 head. So we'll go over some of those numbers, see what you guys thinking about some of those numbers there. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August the 16th. 1,957 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 433 brought 317.50. 5 at 464 brought 338. 7 at 484 brought 310. 4 at 565 brought 265. 9 at 637 brought 258. 15 at 809 brought 244. 16 head of heifers at 408 brought 298. 5 at 473 brought 260. 4 at 8 at 629 brought 250, 9 at 643 brought 241, 20 at 689 brought 243, 8 at 739 brought 230, butcher cows were 22 to 162, butcher bulls brought 120 to 179.50, bred cows were 1400 to 2900, pairs were 1685 to 3350, Elk City Livestock, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Eric.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI Agritech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle kits, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI Agritech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. McLean, Texas. It's 87 degrees. Heat index is 86. Humidity is 38. Dew point's 59. The winds are out of the south at 9 miles an hour with gusts up to 11. Peak wind gusts so far today, 20 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 96 one-hundredths of an inch, and 8-inch soil temperature, 87 degrees. All right, that is forecast for out in the Texas Panhandle. Okay, let's see what the Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Grain Market looks like as soon as I can find it. There it is. I got too much stuff up today. I got too much stuff to talk about. Anyway, September corn. 363 down 4 1/4. December's 389 down 3. And I got a pop up. There we go. Soybeans for September 954 down 13. November 974 down 12. And soybean meal September 311.80 down 550. October 306.50 down 490. Soybean oil September 41.23 up 08. October 40.76 up 06. Hard red winter wheat. What are you doing? Ah, not too bad. September 542 up 3 3/4. December 553 up 6 1/4. And looks like oil out of West Texas. October 75.14 a barrel down 39 cents. Natural gas is still not over $2, but it's up a little bit today for September at 194. The Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ are all struggling a little bit in the red. October, live cattle, 178.70, down 70. December, 177.85, down 1. And feeder cattle, September, 241.40, down 52. October, 238.65, up 27. Lean hogs are in the red for October at 81.80. And that's about it. What's going on there? Speaking of a little adventure, I was at Midwest Farm Supply this morning. I won't mention his name, but you guys all know him. He hangs out at the sale barn, brings cattle. He kind of buys and trades and got some land down by Carter. And he listens to my show, so he knows who I'm talking about right now. I was going to my truck to get something there on Main Street. And he got out of his truck and informed me that I jinxed him with army worms. And I informed him that his army worms are the ones I got. that thing can go bad both ways. But he's got army worms really bad on some new grass. So as I warned you guys last week to check your crops, whether it's grass or whatever. The army worms have moved in, and a friend of mine sent me some video, or a video from over around Gary yesterday on a couple big old alfalfa fields, and the fall army worm millets were flying all over the place over there. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, guys, but heads up, keep an eye on your grass and your crops because they can devastate them in a hurry. You guys know that as much as I will do. So anyway, get them taken care of. All right, let's see what happened at Beaver yesterday. They had a big sale. If I can find it, I got it up here somewhere. Where is that Beaver auction at? There it is. Gotcha. All right, 4,382 head were sold yesterday. Looks like some bred heifers. They didn't have very many of them, like less than a half a dozen, but they averaged 1,521 a head. And bulls, they had 36 head of big boys. The biggest one weighed 2,385 pounds, brought a 175 per hundredweight. In other words, he sold for $4,173.75. So average weight was $1,539, average price $149.70, average price per head $2,303.95. Bull calves, about my voice there. Bull calves, they had 96 head, average weight $583, average price $235.98 per hundredweight. $13.76 is what they were bringing yesterday on the bulls. They had quite a few cows looking like slaughter cows. And where we go? 245 to be exact. Somebody's still calling a bunch of cows. That's all I can tell you. Weight was 12.13. Average price $137.15. $1,663 per head. Heifer calves. There we go. 349 head of those, average weight 512, average price 242.65, 1243.30 a head. Heifer yearlings, 717 head, average weight 722, average price 233.34, 1684 per head, almost $1,700 per head. And let's see here. We got pairs. Had a couple, five pairs yesterday. They averaged 20 per head, per pair, I guess. And then steer calves. Their report's very long today. I'm sorry. 473 head of steer calves, averaging $550. Average price $270.90. $1,490 per head. And then on the yearling steers, come here, where you at? There we go. They had 2,455 head, average weight 894, average price 237.33, average price per head $2,120.52. There was a big load that I noticed in there. Let's see here. Yeah, 56 head. 673 was the weight, 269 per hundred weight, 18.10.95. So I'd say that's pretty good. Some 809 weights, 110 of them actually, 253 brought a little, almost $50, $2,050. So anyway, pretty darn good sale happening there at the Beaver yesterday. All right. Today is Taylor Ranch happy hour. Taylor Ranch's entire operation is geared towards one thing. Yep, you guessed it. Creating a great eating experience for their customers. They start by selecting the best carcass genetics available that enhance both flavor and tenderness. They are hands-on every day as they develop each calf so it will reach its full genetic potential. They then put the calves on feed in some cases for as many as 200 days. This optimizes and unlocks their full genetic potential and gives the consumer that juicy, mouth-watering, memorable eating experience. One that you'll remember next year, for sure. Taylor Ranch develops every animal if it was going to be served at their own table. Quarters, halves, or whole beef for sale, third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef, 405-609-4662. Speaking of Taylor Ranch, coming up not this weekend, but the following weekend in Cheyenne, Roger Mills County, this will be the Championship Red Dirt Rodeo. And it's put on by the Kansas Professional Rodeo Association. Event fees, bareback riding, saddle bronc, open goat tying, bull riding, steer wrestling, tie down roping, breakaway roping, ladies barrel race, all for $100. and then open team roping and 40-40 team roping, $130 each. There'll be some added money. Tickets are now on sale at the Chamber of Commerce. Many are Slife Library, sorry about that. Cheyenne Star, the Security State Bank, Twisted Pearl Saloon, The Den, and online at eventbrite.com. Entry date, August 23rd through today at 4 o'clock. So you only got till today at 4 o'clock to enter this. And if you need any information on that, I got a phone number for you, 620-275-1655. September 6th and 7th at Cheyenne, starting each night at 7 o'clock. And also on September 5th, there'll be a youth rodeo and a KBRA slack. So anyway, pretty good stuff. We got this event is posted on our Facebook at KECOFM. So check it out. All right, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Wrench break. When we come back, I'll see what kind of crazy news I can come up with. I have cotton reports. I got peanut harvest update. You guys know you want to hear about peanuts because a lot of people are wanting to get some peanuts for deer season coming up. And speaking of that, we're going to talk about dove season opening up September 1st. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
His name was Richard Page, and in 1974, he started a jewelry business with his wife, June. A decade later, they turned it over to the kids, Van and LaVita Stout. Then in 2004, the third generation took the reins, Mark and Karen Stout. For 50 years, Page Jewelers has helped make Western Oklahoma more beautiful. They want to say thanks, and they want to celebrate their customers and their history. You're invited to the Half a Hundred celebration at Page Jewelers in Elk City this Friday. There'll be sales, sweets, and prizes. Sale items have been on Facebook in the 50 Days Till 50 promotion, and it all comes to a head this Friday. They're not holding back either. They're having sales on the good stuff. With every purchase this Friday, spend to win jewelry, rodeo tickets, and San Diego Padres merchandise. And you can enjoy refreshments while you're there. It's at 5th and Main, downtown Elk City. Come celebrate Page Jewelers' 50th anniversary this Friday.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Money may not buy happiness, but it can buy a bag of cotton candy, a burger, and a rodeo ticket, and the chance to see some pretty darn good bull riding, barrel racing, and the other great rodeo events as well. Hi everybody, Wayne Brooks inviting you to the Rodeo of Champions in Elk City, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to watch the best rodeo action around. Brought to you by Barber Dyson Ford. Get your tickets online at ElkCityRodeo.com. It's the Elk City Rodeo this weekend. See you there.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here you go. Here's your forecast for northwestern Oklahoma. Your ag weather forecast, that is. I picked Big City of Alva. Currently, it's 95, feels like 96. Dew point 63, humidity's 35. The winds are out south at 8. 10-day rain total, 3/100 of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 90 degrees. And sunset at 8:09. There's hot today at 97, 73 for a low tonight, and tomorrow 97 and hot on Thursday. Oh, boys, guys, my mother-in-law has friended me on Snapchat. This is going to be good. Anyway, thanks for friending me, Miss Karen. Anyway, let's see here. What do we want to check out first? I got a couple of just short deals for you here. As soon as I find them, where'd they go? Oh, you guys heard about that one guy they arrested from North Carolina for that $780,000 scheme on stealing cattle. Well, a federal grand jury in Charlotte has returned a criminal indictment charging Clint Clifford Sicking, 40, Munster, Texas, for his role in a $780,000 scheme involving the theft of livestock, announced U.S. Attorney for the Western District of North Carolina, Dina King. According to allegations in the indictments and documents in related court proceedings from April 2018 to October of 2022, Sicking conspired with William Edwards, 25, of Mount Airy, North Carolina, to defraud sale barns in Iredell, I don't know if I say that right, in Cleveland counties, North Carolina, and a lot of sale barns in Texas, Oklahoma, and Virginia. The indictment alleges that on multiple occasions during the relative time frame, Sicking and Edwards purchased cattle from sale barns in North Carolina and wrote checks to pay for the cattle, knowing that the checks were worthless. In other words, they were hot, since there were insufficient funds to cover the checks and pay for the cattle. And as alleged in the indictment, Sicking and Edwards arranged to transport the cattle out of state before the defrauded sale barns and financial institutions could determine their checks were worthless. The stolen cattle was then resold in Texas and Oklahoma. Over the course of the scheme, Sicking and Edwards allegedly obtained more than 900 head of cattle and caused over $780,000 in losses to sale barns in North Carolina. The sale barns, which are family-owned, incurred these losses because they were required to pay farmers and ranchers immediately after the sale of their livestock. Sicking is charged with conspiring to defraud the United States and to violate the laws of the United States. One of the objects of charged conspiracy was to hamper and impede the Packers and Stockyard Division of the U.S. Department of Agriculture in its regulation of fair livestock markets. Other objects of the conspiracy included a scheme to obtain funds under the custody and control of federally insured financial institutions through false statements and representations to steal livestock valued at more than 10 grand and to transport stolen livestock in interstate commerce. The conspiracy charges carry a maximum prison term of 5 years. Sicking is also charged with bank fraud, which carries a maximum sentence of 30 years in prison and one count of theft of livestock, 2 counts of interstate transportation of stolen livestock, and 2 counts of sale and receipt of stolen livestock, which carries a maximum of 5 years in prison per charged offense. On August 2nd of this year, or just earlier this month, Edwards pleaded guilty for his participation in the scheme. A sentencing date for him has not yet been set. I'd rather them be processing them at the state level, because the state prisons will treat them a little bit better than the federal prisons. You know I'm being sarcastic there, right? So anyway, nah, there's no room in there for that crap, boys. So anyway, speaking of that, let me get to the, I lost it. And this USDA or the Texas, oh man, I'll have to find that. Anyway, I got a deal from the Texas and Southwest Cattlemen's Association. They've got a seminar coming up here October 1st about the EID. So I wanted to share that with you guys. As soon as I find it, I lost it. I don't know what I had done with it. It was up here. I swear it was off. I just found it. Here we go. Sorry. You guys know how quick I am on the computer. Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association will host a educational webinar October 1st at 7 p.m. Central Time to discuss the newly finalized animal disease traceability rule. Featuring a panel of livestock industry experts and cattle raisers, the webinar will answer important questions about requirements for electronic identification of various classes of beef and dairy cattle in response to the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service final rule for animal disease traceability that goes in effect November 5th. All right. Topics to be discussed: impacted classes of livestock, electronic ID tag requirements and industrial responsibilities for implementation of it, data and program security, resources for cattle raisers, including how to access free tags. So that's coming up October 1st, and I'll remind you guys again about here. And the webinar is open to the public, so you don't have to have a you don't have to be a member of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association to join this webinar. So I had a good question that I'm going to ask somebody one of these days. When Brandon and I were talking about this last week about the EID tags, will that help with stolen cattle at the sale barn, people trying to steal cattle at the sale barn? And that's a really good question. Matter of fact, the secret weapon out of Cheyenne, out of Roger Mills County, actually asked me that question, texted to me. So anyway, that's going to be a good question. And I guess if this requirement on these breeding stock, 18-month-old and older breeding stock that have to have the EID tags now, it will definitely help with them. And I'm just wondering if a guy goes ahead and puts them in as younger cattle and some get stolen, if that wouldn't help trace it. I don't know. I'm pretty sure the cattle thieves are going to take those tags out. Well, don't worry. If you're a cattle thief and you're listening to my show right now, guess what? They got satellites above you watching you steal these cattle with these electronic ID tags. So, anyway, oh my gosh. Hey, I'm going to try this, and I'm doing it on this other computer, so you guys bear with me. According to Tyrone Spearman, peanut harvest may be late this year. Hang on a second.
It's time for Farm and Ranch Headlines on the Southeast AgNet. I'm Tyrone Spearman reporting. Dr. Scott Mumford of the University of Georgia gave a report at the pre-harvest meeting this week. He said the Georgia crop is good on peanuts, but it is mixed. He said the May and June weather likely pushed the harvest dates for peanuts back a couple of weeks. He noted that the industry will not know the total impact of the storms, especially Hurricane Debby up the coast, until the end of the season. He said many area fields are underwater, and these areas need to be avoided as they prepare for a harvest. He said we need to cut those off of the harvest docket and not have those peanuts go into the trailer. He said there are other areas that have not recorded any rain across the state in Georgia for the entire month, and those vines are dropping down on dryland peanuts and turning white and no longer producing. He said Georgia has 61% of the area irrigated, and they need to be running. He noted that disease and insects remain an issue in all fields, and they need to check fields individually. Non-irrigated fields need to be monitored especially closely on maturity and damage. Don't forget to keep the water in the late crop, as the first crop that we have about 15% when it's harvesting early. Don't forget it and keep the water running. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
All right. Well, I think kind of the same thing maybe going on here in Oklahoma. According to David with the Nolan with the Oklahoma Peanut Commission, the Cattle County peanuts look really good, but over here in Beckham County and parts of Greer County where they're growing some peanuts, it's the unknown right now because of this heat. And so we'll see. Peanut harvest, peanuts are interesting to me. Sorry, I harp on them a lot, but it's just a cool plant to grow. And anyway, so we'll see. Some of the more experienced peanut growers are saying this heat could have made the production might be down, may not. I don't know. I guarantee you come October 10th when the digging starts, we'll know. That's when we will know what's going on around here. All right, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When I come back, we'll finish up the show, and we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Southwestern Ag weather forecast for you.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Are you annoyingly inattentive? Do you watch a movie and then ask a zillion questions because you weren't paying attention? Do people ask, how do you sleep at night? Then you should get a mattress from Mattress Firm. They can help anyone sleep. Head to Mattress Firm's best sale of the year, the Labor Day Sale. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 plus a free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. Get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Alignment is very important. I mean, it causes the wear on your tires. So if you just let it go, the tires, instead of saying a 60,000 miles, will only last 30 or 40,000. It's called toe. It's where the tires are pigeon-toed. They're turned in, they're turned out. One may be one way, one may be the other. We always shake down the front end to make sure there's no loose parts, because our roads are so nice and smooth out here, that they do get some parts that wear out a little quicker. Uneven wear, edge wear, and shaking. Rough roads, potholes, constructions, and riding in the country. It all is tough on your vehicle. We have a gentleman who's been here nearly 11 years, very knowledgeable, knows what's going on. We probably average 5 alignments a day. Something, honestly, needs to probably be done every year. L&R Tire, 1204 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma.
The home of Bridgestone Firestone Tires.
At L&R Tire, we'll take good care of your vehicle.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today. From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Big city of Mangum, Oklahoma. 92 degrees, feels like 93. Heat risk is low. Dew point 63, humidity at 38. The winds are out of the south, southwest at 10 miles an hour with wind gust up to 16. No rainfall in the last 10 days. Hopefully that change starting tomorrow night. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 91 degrees. Sunset at 8:10. Hot and 97 today. Low of 71 tonight and hot tomorrow and 97 degrees. Okay, you guys want to help out? Not, I know all my listeners are not on, have social media, especially Facebook. So I'll help you out here. But the Oklahoma Mesonet posted a deal this morning that says drought is increasing and intensifying in Oklahoma. So do you want to help the U.S. Drought Monitor authors the severity of drought in your area by providing ground truth information? Everybody says, man, I don't know how they do this drought map because it's drier than what they're saying here at my place. Well, here's your chance to help. So you can submit your information to the conditioning or the condition monitoring observer's report system. So instead of going through this and giving you this website because it's complicated, here's what you do. There's a couple different things. You go to the Oklahoma Mesonet Facebook page. And this story was posted 4 hours ago, so it's not hard to find. And there's a picture there that says, what does drought look like in your state? Let others know by submitting reports to the CMOR. So right there at the bottom of their paragraph, though, there's a link. Hit that link, and it'll take you to this deal, and you can sign up for this. I think it's pretty cool. Yeah, I think it'll help make our drought monitor map more accurate, because back during like wheat harvest down by Deal City and some areas towards Sentinel and down, just there was a big donut there that was drier than a popcorn. Anyway, I almost said it. And anyway, and then up by Cordell, it was green as stuff like that. I'm just using that for an example, and it doesn't show that on our map. I've got an app that it does show that on rainfall and stuff, but if you guys want to help them out, it is, like I said, go to the Facebook, have your wife or your grandkids or your daughters, whoever you're not, get that link for you. Or if you can't do it, I will provide you the link. Just shoot a text here at the studio or my phone if you got my phone number. And I will provide you a link to help you guys sign up to make our maps more accurate according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Got it? Cool. We had really good participation yesterday in Hay Day Tuesdays. You guys keep sending them in. I hope some of you guys sold your hay. Maybe this is not the time to be selling hay, but just keep sending them every Tuesday. I promise you sooner or later that number, that hay, that kind of hay and how much you're getting ton will eventually ring into some to the right person's ear listening on that right day. So there was a good question on the text line. Is there a cattle sale Friday? Yes, Elk City Livestock Auction is happening Friday. But Western Oklahoma will be closed Monday. Anyway, I go by there this morning and is already there working, ready to bring your cattle on. So yes, there is a sale. All right, let's see here. Not the greatest news, but I'm going to go over it anyway. U.S. corn prices hit a four-year low as the prospect for record corn and soybean crops take shape in the field. The eroding outlook also appears in the August Ag Economist Monthly Monitor, as more economists are concerned U.S. agriculture is either already in a recession or on the brink of one. But economists point out if it weren't for strong cattle prices, the ag economic picture would look even worse right now. So when you look at it and what we see for both relative to last month or last year, some of the more pessimistic readings we've had since we've been surveying here in 2024, according to Scott Brown, Interim Director of Rural and Farm Finance Policy Analysis Center at the University of Missouri. That's a long title. The latest Ag Economist Monthly Monitor tried to get a better gauge of the risk of financial stress in the agriculture and asked more than 70 economists, economists, you guys like my gymbonics, that's why I said that, surveyed if agriculture is on the brink of recession. Nearly 60% said yes. Maybe what was even more surprising to me is the responses to the question, are we already in a recession? More than 50% said, yes, we are already in a recession. That's a big change from where we was 16 to 24 months ago, and it shows a lot of folks are worried about where we sit today. The Monthly Monitor also asked an economist to provide more explanation of why they think the U.S. ag economy is already in recession. Here's some of the stuff they said. At least for most crop producers, the sharp drop in prices and cash receipts has resulted in lower net income and financial pressure on leveraged producers. The picture is generally less dire on the animal agriculture side of the ledger as prices up, cattle, milk, for some commodities and feed costs are declining. Is that true? I haven't heard anything about feed costs are declining. So from what I've seen, I do think there's another statement. I do think U.S. ag economy is in recession. The projection for 23 and 2024 farm incomes in real dollars are the two largest declines in history. Costs exceed prices for most commodities, and the outlook doesn't provide indication of improvement very soon. Farm incomes are down. Ag manufacturers are laying people off. Suppliers for those manufacturers are laying people off. What are the bright spots? Cattle, depending on the segment. Trade with Mexico. After that, the list gets pretty thin. Another statement, we aren't in one yet, but we are on the brink of one. And another statement, I think we'll enter into a recession after the election. As the concerns about the ag economy pour in, Brown points out that net farm income situation would look even worse if it weren't for the positive prices in livestock. Cattle prices, I think, have been helpful in pulling it up. At the same time, we see corn and soybean prices continue to move lower, along with wheat. We know crop receipts are going to be lower than what you would have said back at the start of the year. Cattle prices probably higher, hogs probably higher, dairy probably higher. But economists also expect production expenses not to go up from where they originally were during the first part of the year. I don't know about that. Last but not least here, the USDA Economic Research Service gave its first glimpse at the 24 net income farm income in February with the farm sector income and finances. At the time, USDA's ERS forecast showed net farm income to fall after reaching record highs in 2022. Net farm income, which is the broad measure of profits, reached $185.5 billion in the calendar year of 2022 after decreasing to $29.7 billion 16% from 2022 to forecast of $155.9 billion in 2023. Net farm income in 2024 is forecast to decrease from 23 by another 39.8 billion this year. That's a lot of difference this year between this year and 2022. What is that? A total of, I'm just guessing here, 70 billion down. That's a lot. Big time. So anyway, also do not forget that September 3rd, I think it is. Yeah, let me look at this. It's probably in every county, but this comes from Beckham County. September 3rd, which is Tuesday, is your deadline to purchase NAP coverage for cool season crops, wheat, rye, triticale, and cool season grasses. Also, not too far away, October 15th, final date to plant small grains, wheat, rye, triticale to be eligible for NAP and LFP coverage. Got it? All right. You guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, and Sarah Cole.
Four-wheeling in the mud. That's what country sounds like. Thanks for making us number one, 96.5 KEZ.